This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Genesis chapters 48 and 49, covering Jacob blesses the boys, Ephraim comes before Manasseh, days to come, I wait for your salvation, and blessings on Joseph and Benjamin. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Open my lips,
and my mouth will be thankful.
haste, O God, to deliver me. Comes to save us. To save us.
reading from 2 Peter chapter 3. Since all things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters, when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unreasonable twist to their own destruction, as they do other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. In his day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely.
This is the day by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, what's it going to be this morning? Christmas, joy to the world, or Advent? This morning's reading. Are we going to celebrate or are we going to repent? This coming to chapel this time of year can be just a little confusing. The pyramids are purple. That makes Advent like Lent. It's time to remember and repent of our sins. But joy to the world and the Christmas trees are not Lent. Now, that's the signal to rejoice, celebrate, and sing. The Savior has been born. Now, of course, this is nothing new. It happens every year, this mixing of the seasons, or maybe more precisely, the intrusion of Christmas into Advent happens all the time. I guess it wouldn't have to be that way, but it is, and that's fine. I'm not going to propose some law which says, Christmas, you stay in your place. No. I mean, the holiday is so big, so important, so basic to our faith that the closer we get to it, the more we want to celebrate it. And so we do. Now, the only time this does become a challenge is when you're the preacher. And you're 6 days away from Christmas, and the New Testament scripture reading is all about the second coming and getting ready through repentance and piety for a day of judgment. So what are we going to do? Now, I was tempted to take that little chunk of text in the middle in which Peter complains that Paul's writings are hard to understand. And then I checked my book of sermons, or my catalog of sermons that I've done, and I found out that I had preached on that in chapel just 4 years ago. And so I thought, well, everybody's going to remember what I said, so I can't do that. So I'm stuck with the question, what are we going to do this morning, Christmas or Advent? But then I thought, how about this? We'll do just a little of both. Now, the text doesn't admit of much Christmas. I think we all have to recognize that. What we have in the text is just an elaboration of what we confess in the Apostles' Creed all the time. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. That's our Lord's second coming. It's either a threat or a promise, but in any case, it's awesome. And when you read stuff like this morning's lesson, it's a little terrifying. The heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. When time began, God said, "Let there be," and it was. At the end, "Let it be no more," and it won't. No wonder then that the St. Peter warns us, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Yes, what sort of people should we be in view of our Lord's second coming? But of course, maybe you wonder in your heart of hearts whether any of this is true. I mean, it's a temptation for all of us. Maybe you think, well, that's what Peter thought. It was a long time ago. For centuries later, it still hasn't happened. Why should I think that it ever will? Well, if Peter's word is not good enough for you, there's also the word of Jesus. He also described his second coming. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And why all this? The Son of Man is coming on clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He is coming to judge. Now, this is a clear teaching of the Bible. It's as clear as anything else in the Scriptures. So why is it so hard to believe? Well, at least two reasons suggest themselves. First, on account of our fallen human nature, we really don't want it to be true. We don't want to live lives of godliness and holiness. We don't want to be without spot or blemish. No, we want to live the way we want to live, not in the light of a future reckoning or judgment. Our sinful selves would find it a whole lot easier just to give in to sin. Let the world set the rules, not God. Follow that wide, easy path, not the narrow way. Temptation, don't fight it. Just do it. Just do it. If there is no judgment. But that's a pretty big if. So you want to be sure. Perhaps then we take refuge in a second consideration for thinking that there's no judgment day. It's just been too long. We've been waiting 2,000 years and it still hasn't happened. Well, that's true. But what about faithful Israel waiting for the promise of the coming Messiah. They had to wait a long time too. They had to wait when everything went wrong. And indeed, if we try to measure the time between when that first promise was given to Adam and Eve in the garden until its final fulfillment on Easter morning when Christ crushed the serpent's head, that was a long time too. A lot longer than 2,000 years. And all through those years, I'm sure there were lots of people who just gave up on the promise. It's never going to happen, they thought. You're just kidding yourself. If you think that all that old stuff is true, oh, it can't be. All that time, nothing has happened. It's not going to happen ever. But it did. It did. Because God keeps his word. We may not, often we don't, but God does, always. He promised, and he kept the promise. Christ the Savior was born. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. God keeps his word. And because God keeps his word, we're not stuck in our sins and heading to judgment. No, we're forgiven. We're not heading to death and hell. We're going to life, eternal life. That little baby, born in the manger, set in the manger, the son of the Virgin Mary, also the Son of God, was born for us. For us. He kept a holy life, something that we never do, for us. He paid the punishment so that we'll never have to. The punishment for our sins. Thank God, then, that he keeps his promises. If he didn't, we'd all be damned. But he does, so we are safe. All our faults and flaws, all our trespasses and transgressions, all our doubts and disbeliefs are gone in him, and that includes all of our doubts regarding the second coming. He died for those too. So the best guarantee of the second coming is the first. God keeps his word. And at the first coming, that word was really good. So what about the second coming? Is the word good there too? Well, maybe it doesn't sound all that good, all that burning, dissolving, melting. But it is, because God is destroying a world corrupted by sin and evil. Our sin, our evil. It has to go. But that's not all. In the wake of that destruction, St. Peter reminds us, according to God's promise, there's that word again. Remember, God always keeps his promises. How about this one? We are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We can hardly conceive of what that means. New heavens, new earth, righteousness. Well, glorified bodies for sure, immortal and incorruptible. But you know, there's even more. For in the last book of the Bible, St. John the Divine recorded his vision of that new creation. Here's what he wrote. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's the second coming. Judgment, yes. Destruction, yes. But also for the faithful, God's final gift in Christ, life, life with him forever. So whether we're talking about the first coming or the second coming, they are both really good news. Now, of course, the second coming hasn't happened yet. It's only a promise. But because of that first coming promise, we have every guarantee that God will keep that second promise also. And you know what that means? That means, my fellow Christians, that means that we have a good reason. I mean, we have a really good reason to celebrate. So let's do it. Amen.
my prayer.
And as my cry runs to you.
Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, grant that we who await the the solemnity of our redemption with the birth of your only begotten Son, may be delivered from the bondage of our sins, which we have committed, and bestow upon us in the life to come the benefit of eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord God, you showed guidance and protection to your children in the wilderness, and strengthened and nurtured their faith through your providential care. Likewise, guide and protect all those in our seminary community as they travel, and direct your holy angels to protect them from all harm and danger. Strengthen and preserve their faith that they may evermore call on your name, trusting in you alone to provide life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.